you've seen lots of changes, and you've seen that there are fewer farmers and bigger farms. What do you think about that?
Well, the price they pay for this machinery now, they've got to have a lot of land to pay for it. When I was young, well, my father and I, we worked 80 acres on shares. We only got half of that 80 acres. The owner got the other half. Well, now for 80 acres, what would you do buying an $8,000 or $10,000 tractor? Mm-hmm. For 15, some of these big machines cost up into thousands of dollars, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, what's that going to do to the small-time farmer?
Well, there aren't any more. Mm-hmm. There's no small-time farmers around. Mm-hmm. There was a time when up this ridge, every farmer had a few horses, a few cows, a few pigs, and a flock of hens. Mm-hmm. Now you're up and down this ridge, you can't find a flock of hens. Mm-hmm. Nobody got any hens even. Mm-hmm. Nobody got any pigs, or if they have, they've got a lot of them. Mm-hmm. They make a specialty of it. Mm-hmm. Same way with cattle. Of course, my grandson lives a mile and a half north here.
Now who is that?
Don Hobbs. Mm-hmm. He's Frida Hobbs' son.
Yes.
And he's got 100 head of cattle.
Are those dairy cattle?
Yeah, all dairy. But
now what does he do with the milk?
He ships it. Mm-hmm. Comes, tank truck comes along, mm-hmm. picks it up, takes it away.
That's changed a lot, too.
Oh, gee, we used to put in 10 gallon cans. Then the trucks come along, we'd load the cans on, and they'd take in cans, but now they...
They take it to the train?
They used to take it to the cities.
Oh, yes.
Take it to the cities.
Did you ever ship cream to the city?
Yes. That's how we only had a few cows, mm-hmm. 4 or 5 cows. Then we'd ship cream, had a cream separator. We shipped the cream. Mm-hmm. I lived over here in this one-eyed building here. I lived over in this corner house. Mm-hmm. And we kept saving our cream checks until we were getting ready to build here. Mm-hmm. When we got enough, we bought a living room suit with our cream checks.
That was before the days of credit cards.
Oh, yes.
Yes, that's another thing that's changed.
Lots of things. You know, when I was young, there wasn't a telephone pole, nor a wire, nor a telephone, certainly no television, no automobiles.
No airplanes?
No airplanes.
No walking on the moon?
No.
What about your social times? Did you used to get together with the neighbors and have dances?
Oh, yes. Saturday nights, we used to go to Waterport when we lived down north. They'd have a little ice cream social in the summertime. Mm-hmm. Every Saturday night, mm-hmm. we could go over to Waterport and visit with our neighbors and all the farmers. And if we wanted to make a real splurge, we went to Elvin. That was 9 miles away. And now if you want to make a real splurge, you go to Rochester or Buffalo or somewhere.
What did you do when you had ice cream? Did someone have to make it, or did you go to the grocery store and buy it?
They bought it. They bought it in cans or in containers and brought it in. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And all the churches used to put on, an ice cream social, and they'd sell it and try to make a little money.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Did you ever go to dances that were held in the homes?
Oh, yeah. I danced all my life. My wife and I danced all the way from Buffalo to Palmyra.
Oh, was that your second wife?
Yeah.
Yes.
My first wife, and I never danced.
Is that right?
And my second wife, she was brought up in a strict home, and she never danced or played cards, but after we were married, she played cards and danced. I guess I ruined her.
Doesn't sound like you ruined her too much. You had 50 years together.
Yeah, we did.
Well, what about the dances that you went to that were in the homes? Was there more than a violinist? What did you do?
Hardly ever more than that. But we done most of our dancing in Grange Halls.
Oh.
Gaines, you know, this little village down here has got one of the best dance floors in Orleans County. Mm-hmm. Up there now.
Yes.
It's all narrow boards. And it's all laid around across the end, and down the other side, across the other end. So on a round dance, you're always dancing with the board, never across the sea.
I never thought about that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we got there. I can take you down there now, on the third floor. And I don't know what shape it's in. I haven't up there in years. But it was the best dance floor in the county.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What would the women slacks? Wear when they
would
went
they
to
wear slacks?
Oh, hardly any slacks those days. No.
Yeah.
I don't recall either one of my wives ever wearing slacks. My first wife surely never did.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't remember that Esther ever did or not. I doubt it.
Did they wear long dresses? Sometimes?
Yeah, and then some of them, they shortened up too, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Up to their, about their knees or close mm-hmm. to their knees.
Yes. And you enjoyed dancing?
Oh, yes, I guess we did.
Did you ever square dance?
Oh, sure. Sure. And most of these dances were, they alternate, a round-to-round dance and then a square one.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I've always had a round dance, you know, with a good partner mm-hmm. was a pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
But a square dance, that's just fun. Don't make it difference if you do it right or not. You just had a lot of fun.
Do you remember who did the calling?
Oh, sure. Henry Rush and Ken up here now. Ken's orchestra plays up here to Gasport.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what Ken's last name is.
Mm-hmm.
He had an auction. He called. Milt Johnson called. Oh,
Did you ever consider an auction to be a social time when they had auctions at various places?
Well, they used to, most, if they had a big auction, they had donuts and coffee, and you did, a lot of people went to auctions just to see their neighbors. Other people would go to buy stuff, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of it was sociability, yes.
Mm-hmm.
But there was lots of auctions. I've had two auctions in my day. When I left Clarendon, I had an auction. I sold three of my horses. I kept three.
Now, were those your big horses?
Two of them. Not these registered ones. They were workhorses. I sold two of them. Two workhorses and a great driving horse. But I kept this one here at a picture of.
Who was your auctioneer?
Ed Sayers.
Mm-hmm.
He used to live right down here a little ways.
Mm-hmm.
I can tell you something. I don't know if you want to put this down or not, but when we, Bernie Ferris and I, Bernie was a farmer's farmer down here,
mm-hmm.
and they had electricity as far as Gaines, and we wanted to get up the ridge.
Mm-hmm.
So Bernie and I went up the ridge, and we got people to sign up for it. And among others was Ed Sayers, the auctioneer. He was a farmer too. And his wife said, "No, I'm not going to always live on my farm, and I'm not going to put an electric light for somebody else."
Mm-hmm.
So Ed comes to us and he said, well, his wife was raising trouble about it. He said, "Well, it'll be all right if we take it off." And we said, "Yes, we got plenty of signers." So we took his name off. Well, after a while, she made up her mind that she was going to have to live there. Then she wanted electricity, and then he wouldn't put it in. So they never had electricity while
they
were there.
Oh, dear. Well, once the line had gone through, if they weren't on, they couldn't connect into it?
Oh, they could, but he wouldn't do it. No, she wouldn't. She made a fuss when he signed up. Then after he took his name off, then he wouldn't go it again.
Oh, dear.
That was married life for you.
Some people.
Yeah.
Tell me about the lodge that you belong to, or the IOGT. What was that? That was the Good Templars?
Independent Order of Good Templars.
Is that what you always called that, IOGT?
I often get tight.
How often did you meet with the Knights of Good Templars?
I think we met about every week.
Mm-hmm.
Now I've belonged to the Odd Fellows for years in Hellman.
Mm-hmm. Probably belonged to the Grange too, didn't you?
Oh, yes, for years and years.
Mm-hmm.
I was master of the Grange, and I was master of the county Grange. After I was in two or three years on it, and I wouldn't take it again. So they put my son Richard in. So I just was bad off.
Mm-hmm. Is the Grange going now?
Oh, it's gone.
It's gone.
There's only one active Grange in the county, and that's Berry Center. Mm-hmm. Well, there was Murray and Clarendon, and Murray and Berry and Gaines and Waterport, Medina, Lindenville, Shelby Center. Christ, the country was full of Granges, you know, at one time. And they've all gone.
Is that because they've gone the way, it's gone the way of the small farmers?
Well, no, it's gone away of the other forms of entertainment. Now, it's so easy to get television and radios and things like that. Those days, Granges are about our only recreation, you might say.
Was it more recreation than education?
Both.
Was both?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. They have Farm Bureau today still, don't they?
Oh, yes. Yeah,
mm-hmm. But that's really not a lot of fun with that, is there, or is
no,
there?
No, there's no fun to it now.
Mm-hmm. I understand that you went on a tour once. Was that with the Farm Bureau?
Yeah.
What was that? Would you tell me?
Oh, it's been so long ago, I don't remember much about it. I know we went over to Canada, and then I've been one or two, since I got into the dairy business, I went on two dairy tours. Mm-hmm. Look at some of these outstanding herds, you know, mm-hmm. and especially look at some noted bulls. Mm-hmm. Of course, when I first started dairying, there wasn't any artificial insemination, mm-hmm. and now very few farmers have a bull, you know. Mm-hmm.
Well, they're quite dangerous, aren't they, really?
They can be dangerous, you bet. Mm-hmm. If you're not careful around them, mm-hmm. you want to be like our friend used to tell me, he said, I'm afraid of a bull the day he's born.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if they got that attitude, mm-hmm. that wasn't dangerous, because mm-hmm. he was always careful. But now...
What kind of dairy cattle did you have?
Harlequins.
Mm-hmm.
That's what my son, what my grandson has.
Mm-hmm.
See, my grandson got between 400 and 500 acres. Mm. And that's Frida's. Frida was up here one day. You were
yes,
there with...
I did meet her, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I did introduce her to my oldest daughter, but... She didn't like that, so I don't do it anymore. I think Babe's 67 or 8, I guess, now.
Now, who is Babe?
Frida.
You call her Babe.
I got a daughter, another daughter, Avis. She works for the county.
Yes.
I always call her Chip.
Chip?
Chip, yeah.
Why is that, a chip off the old block?
I guess
Chip
so.
Reminds me of wood chips. You have a nice wood fire going in your kitchen here.
Yeah.
Do you also have central heating?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We burn gas.
Mm-hmm.
Are you warm enough?
Plenty, thank you. It's very comfortable here, yes. You have a lovely home. I'm amazed when I think that you drew the plans for this and
yeah.
cleared the land and built this house.
I cut all the rough lumber, that's the frame and the roof boards and subfloors, you know. These floors are all double, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I cut all that stuff in the woods. I have to tell you, I had an old man live down here named John Ferris,
mm-hmm.
Uncle John, we called him.
Mm-hmm.
And he come along one day when I had the frame up and the partitions up. And he said, Faye, I'd like to look at your house.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, I'd like to show you. So I showed him around. So, well, he said, that's going to be all right. He said, where'd you buy your plans? I said, I didn't buy them, I drew them. He said, you mean to tell me that all you got to go by is plans to do yourself? I said, yeah, that's all.
Couldn't believe it.
Well, the old man says, it must be that you know more than you look so you did. That's what you call a letter as a compliment.
Right. Well, Mr. Hollenbeck, you say that your full name is Fay Carr
yeah.
Hollenbeck. What is the story on Carr?
Well, My grandmother on my mother's side had a sister, and she married one of the Carr brothers who lived in Pavilion, mm-hmm. and they were wealthy. And they one of them had a son named Fay. And when I was born, they thought, well, they'd name me after Fay Carr, and maybe I'd rub off some of their money onto me. Never happened that way. So I was named after Fay Carr, who lived in Pavilion. And that was his name, and I was named Fay Carr Hollenbeck, thinking that some way I might get some of that money.
Well, maybe it rubbed off on your son Paul Parsons.
He's got rich, I tell you. You know, Paul must be a millionaire.
Well, don't you think it has something to do with being in the oil business?
Oh, it all to do with it.
Yes.
All to do with it.
Yes. Well, that's...
Now you got two homes. You got a summer home in Carolina and a winter home in Florida. Two automobiles, Mercedes-Benz, they call them,
mm-hmm.
one of these highest priced cars.
Mm-hmm.
Betty, we didn't never
have... Remember when women first got the vote?
Sure, I remember. I can't tell when it was.
Well, do you remember, was your wife excited?
No.
Did she vote?
Yes, she voted, but she wasn't fussy whether she did or not. She voted because other people did.
Mm-hmm. What about, how about when the women first got their hair bobbed?
She never got her hair bobbed.
Mm-hmm. Did you have any feelings about women getting their hair cut?
No.
Uh-huh.
No, they wanted it cut, I didn't care.
Uh-huh.
I have to tell you a story. You want to hear a story?
Sure.
I used to clip my horses, you know. Mm-hmm. I had a gasoline engine. And when I got put on their ears, they didn't like it, and we put a twist on them. You don't know what that is, do you?
A twist?
A twist.
No.
We had a stick with a hole in the end and a cord to it. Mm-hmm. Cord made a loop about that big.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd pull the horse's nose out like this and put that over his nose and twist it up until you got to put a lot of pressure on that nose, you know. And they'd pay more attention to that twist, the hurt on their nose, than they would what you was doing with the machine.
Oh.
And I called my wife out. I said, come on, hold this twist for me. And so she'd hold the twist. And all at once, she said, I feel faint. Well, I jumped right down and shut the motor off. I turned around just in time to catch her. She had on a pair of pumps, and she had on a pair of nose glasses, and had a braid, long braid of hair hung clear down below her waist. I picked her up, and she fell out of her pumps.
Hmm.
I picked her up and got up on the back steps with her in my arms, and she started to vomit.
Hmm.
Totally unconscious.
Hmm.
I took her nose glasses off, and I had her nose glasses in my hand. And this darn braid I was keeping in the back so it wouldn't get plastered. And talk about a man having his hand full. She was, at that time, probably weighed 170 pounds. And I had her in my arms, and her nose glasses, and her braid. Totally unconscious, and she was healing up everything she ever ate.
Hmm.
That was a time when you heard about a man having his hand full.
I should think so.
I did.
I should think so. But you used to clip your horses.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Clip them in the spring.
Why would you do that?
Well, got all that dead hair off them, and they worked cooler. And
mm-hmm.
It was quite a common practice
mm-hmm.
to... a horse in the spring.
Did you ever show your horses at the fair?
Yeah.
Ever win any prizes?
Well, yeah, because there wasn't much competition. I had more horses than anybody else.
Well, also because they were purebreds, right?
Yeah, I think they were brood mares and colts.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. How about the fair? Was it more active than it is today?
Yeah, but it was on its way out then, Alvin Fair. That's where I get showed Alvin.
Mm-hmm.
Never show them anywhere else.
Mm-hmm. I think the 4-H Fair, though, is really exciting.
Yeah, it's come along good.
Oh, yes.
Too bad they didn't keep the old fairgrounds. All you have racehorses. They had a good racetrack there.
I understand they had some bootleg property over that way, too.
Well, yeah. The Italian fellows had the most of bootlegging.
Is that right?
Yeah.
In Albion?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. I used to be real good friends, and I sold a lot of stuff. worked for him a lot. Was Stanley Berry at Lennonville?
Stanley Berry?
Stanley Berry.
Mm-hmm.
He was a prominent man. Mm-hmm.
What do you mean you sold a lot of stuff?
Oh, I used to buy stuff of him, fertilizer and seed and everything. And mm-hmm. Then I'd sell him my wheat and my cabbage and my apples. And he was a produce dealer.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. His building just north of Waterford Railroad now, mm-hmm. on the north side, but mm-hmm. it's abandoned now.
Yes.
His sons haven't done anything with it.
Mm-hmm. Well, listen, thank you very much, Mr. Hollenbeck, for this second interview. It's very, very helpful. Thank you.
Well, I hope it does some good.
Thank you very much. This is tape number 3 with Mr. Fay Hollenbeck, December 19th, 1980. Helen McAllister is doing the interviewing. Mr. Hollenbeck, would you, as we continue our interview, would you want to tell us how the home situation has changed concerning the privies? You remember the back houses.
Oh, sure. When I was young, we didn't have any inside toilets at all. We had to go outdoors. And my grandmother had a square carpet about, 14, 15 inches square with a hole cut in it. And she just had it hung back of the kitchen stove. And when we'd have to go to the toilet in the wintertime, we'd take this carpet and roll it up, run out there and spread it on the seat and sit on it, nice and warm. Well, it wasn't bad at all. And then it was in the nighttime, we'd take a lantern, put the lantern down between our feet. Boy, we were pretty comfortable. We thought it was nice.
Was that quite a ways from the house?
Well, it was usually far enough so you couldn't smell it.
Yeah.
Didn't want it too close.
Well, going back to early remembrances, do you remember when groceries used to be delivered by a local store?
Oh, yes. Yeah, when I went to Clarendon, I went down, I was told a stranger, and I went down to the village still, or village store, and there was a man named Floyd Gillis run it. And I had never seen him before. And I told him where I lived and how much of a family I had. And I said, now we're going to have some butter and some eggs, but I want more groceries and we'll have stuff to pay for. And I'd like to run a bill and pay for it next fall. And I said, well, that'd be all right with you. And Floyd looked at me a minute and he says, you look so you'd pay. He said, come and get anything you want. And that was my introduction to Floyd Gillis.
Mm-hmm.
And when that was in April, when summer came, he used to drive a wagon up by there, and he'd stop, and my wife would stop, buy stuff off the wagon.
Mm-hmm.
And when fall came, I'd go down and pay him. I'd have my my wheat sold and my cabbage and apples and things like that, so I would have some money. I'd go down and pay my bill. But that was my introduction to Floyd Gillis, and I always liked him.
Well, when the grocery truck came around, I assume maybe your wife didn't go shopping every day to the grocery store.
She didn't even go once a week. Mm-hmm. The grocery cart come every week anyway, and they used to come with a whole stock of stuff. And then later here, they got so they come around and took orders. Then the next day, they would deliver.
When they brought things around, would they be packaged up, or were they in the bulk?
They were packaged. Bulk, when I was young, sugar used to come in barrel sugar, all loose, you know,
mm-hmm.
brown sugar and white sugar, and crackers come in a barrel of crackers. Lots of times the barn cat would be having Nestle on top of the crackers.
What was this?
The cat. It'd be laying on top of the crackers.
Oh my goodness.
In the barrel.
Oh dear.
The thing like that, we didn't mind it. And they used to bring bread around in big blue boxes when they first commenced to deliver bread. They come in big blue boxes about once a week.
Mm-hmm.
And you'd go there and they'd sell you a loaf of bread. But in those days, the wives baked all their bread.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't sell much bread.
Mm-hmm. And you made your own butter and had your own eggs and your own milk?
Yeah.
And cottage cheese and butter?
And you know, they had the cottage cheese, they made it, but I never ate it. I never could go with sour cheese. Or sour milk, that's what it was.
Oh, I see.
You know, but I always liked milk and butter.
You said that something about your crops that you were growing, such as cabbage, and I guess you grew a lot of tomatoes at one time. Did you have transient workers help you at times?
Yeah, so a lot of them. A lot of them would come along. We'd hire them, never seen them before. Some would stay all the season. Some would stay only just a few days. But a lot of them, and so lots of them would come back the next year at the same men looking for work.
Now, would these be in addition to your hired men?
Yes, yeah. You didn't have hired men enough to pick a crop of tomatoes. You have 15, 20 acres of tomatoes, you know, and it'd be a lot of handwork. Mm-hmm. And you wouldn't have enough help to do that.
Where would transient workers come from?
From the cities, most of them. They're, in fact, they were all from the cities. Most men in the country had work. But lots of men in the city didn't have work. And they'd come along out in the country looking for work, and they'd find, apple pickers and tomato pickers. And down in the hop country, they used to go down there and pick hops where they made beer, you know? Mm-hmm. I've heard them tell these hops were very loose. And they picked them in boxes, and sometimes one of their friends that didn't like them would give this box a kick, and so the hops would settle down 6 inches. Just like a man, you know. They get their box all full and somebody kicking them.
How did transient workers get from the city here?
A walk.
From the city?
Sure, sure. Yeah, all the transit I ever hired was walking down the road. In those days, they didn't have no other way to walk. Mm-hmm. Only walk. Mm-hmm. They didn't own a horse and there were no automobiles.
What about riding the rails like hobos?
Well, they would do that, but they get off at these little places like Waterport, mm-hmm. and branch out and walk from there. Mm-hmm. And the hobos had, some of these hobos were pretty good guys. And they'd have camps in the woods, you know. They used to have a place we called a gravel pit up west of Waterport. And they had a permanent camp out there. Sometimes there'd be a dozen or more men camping there, going out to work. And people complained about it, and when my brother was sheriff, he had a big police dog, and he was savage. And he had one of what they call a choker collar on, you know? And they called Ross, and Ross went down there, and he took this dog with him. And he went back to the camp, and he told these boys, he said, "Now, fellas, they've been complaining about you, and you've got to get out of here." He said, "Now, I'm coming down tomorrow, and I'm going to turn this dog loose." Well, he went down tomorrow, there was nobody there, and they'd all cleared out. They didn't want to buy that dog.
What would the people complain about?
Oh, stealing stuff.
Oh.
And you go out and dig their potatoes in the field, and they had to eat, you know, in these camps. Mm-hmm. They'd go out and they'd beg from the farmers, get a hand out here and there, and go on their field and dig their field, kill the potatoes, and pick out the sweet corn, anything live.
This would be before the time of welfare or food stamps.
Yes, my gosh, yes.
So if you didn't know how to get something, you really starved.
Yeah, you're talking about food stamps, that's a new wrinkle. That hasn't been the welfare. There's no such a thing as that. If it got real bad, you went to the poorhouse. Mm-hmm. And that was a disgrace, mm-hmm. for the poorhouse. Now we all get welfare. Social Security, that's welfare.
Not really, because we pay into it.
Well, I didn't.
Well, I think most people who work for wages paid into it.
Yeah, that's true. Yes. But it come to me, I didn't ever pay into it. And Morris, when he, I tried to get welfare for him or Social Security, and I took him to Batavia first, and he thought, you support him? I said, sure, I've always supported him. Well, why do you support him? I said, well, because I've had to. Well, I don't think he can get anything, but I'll try. So they sent in the papers. Then they sent me a letter, taking on a roster to an interview with a specialist down there. So I took him down there, back, and I run along a while. And right out of the clear sky, he got a check for $1,000.
That felt pretty good.
Yeah.
All right.
And since then, he's had Social Security. That's what I do.
Yes.
He gets a bill, a check
yes.
every month. I do
yes.
too. And Betty does too.
Yes.
Well, it's all welfare in a way.
When you were a younger man, do you remember gypsies being around?
Oh, sure. Yeah, I can tell you a story about that. My wife and I come to Melbourne one day, and we drove up in front of a garage here, and there was a couple of gypsy women in there with Floyd Wilson. He run the garage. And when I went in there, one of them took me, and they pulled us back away from the door so my wife wouldn't see us, because they knew that she'd see what we wasn't thinking about. We were having a lot of fun. We thought this woman I had, she just had a skirt, a loose dress on. You could pull her dress out and you could look right down the whole length of her. And after a while they left, and I got to thinking, gee, I found her hand in my pocket once. I took her hand out and put my hand in my pocket. I got to thinking, maybe she was in there once before. And I looked, and sure enough, all my $5 bills was gone. So I told my wife, and I told Floyd, I said, that son of a gun, she took $5 out of my pocket. He said, she did, and he wanted to look into his. They'd taken all his money, and he hadn't even missed it. And when we come up through Gaines, they were there in front of Burns' garage, and my wife wanted me to stop. I said, no, if I'm big enough fool to let a woman take $5 out of my pocket, like, she's welcome to it. I'll never happen again.
Traveling in any kind of a caravan?
Oh,
or?
Yeah.
What was it like?
Well, horses, horse-drawn carry-alls. And they'd camp. If they let you, they'd pull in someplace and set a camp. Some people wouldn't let them camp. They'd go on and get out of here. Because they stole a lot of stuff, you know, those gypsies. And they'd go into your field and pick corn. And so I'd say, dig potatoes, do anything, and they'd get them. Like, they had to live, you know. If they couldn't steal enough money to buy stuff they wanted, they stole it.
Have you ever told me about that? Yes, I want to know why I'm not killed. Does that I do not care about you?
No.
You're not supposed to talk when you're talking.
Yeah.
You
got
the machine on.
You had hobos come along. Are hobos and transients the same thing?
Well, I don't think. Some of these hobos were professional hobos. They didn't work. They just lived off the country, they went along.
Mm-hmm.
Others were pretty good men. Some of them were family men
mm-hmm.
that were out of work, and they was had lots of work for me. They would send their money to their wives. When they would earn money, they'd say, well, send it to so-and-so, and I would.
What did you tell me about, there was a saying, working from sun up to sundown, how was that?
Well, that was in Virginia, down there, and he had colored boys working for him. And I said, what hours do they work? And he said, they work from can till can't. And I said, gee, what do you mean? I never heard that. He said, they work from the time they can see until they can't see. That was their hours. But I never heard that before. Work from can till can't. I told you about the bootleggers having X-ray spring on the back of their cars.
Mr. Halbach, quick, can you tell me about bootleggers' cars?
Well, these bootleggers had X-ray springs on their back of their cars, and so that when they were loaded with liquor, their cars were right about level, and they wouldn't be so noticeable. And that's why they used to get away with it. They put these X-ray springs so their cars rode pretty high when they were empty. But when they were loaded, they rode about level.
Those bottles probably weighed a lot.
well, a quart of liquor, and they'd get 100, they'd get 12 bottles in a sack. And we used to get it by the sack full.
The bottles didn't break very easily?
No, they were covered in cardboard and corrugated mm-hmm. wrappers. Mm-hmm.
What about what were you telling me about the horse-drawn trucks or wagons that had large wheels in back?
And smaller wheels in the front. All lumber wagons were that way. All of them. The front wheels were always smaller.
Was that just lumber wagons?
Yeah. Well, Democrats, any four-wheeled wagon, that was the one they cramped around to turn, the wheel would cramp underneath the body. Mm-hmm. And if they were high ones, they couldn't get under there, couldn't turn short.
Mm-hmm.
Well, all lumber wagons had smaller wheels in front. And
mm-hmm. What do you remember about the circus as a young man?
Well, when I lived in the city, my dad used to get me up mornings, and we'd go down and watch the circus unloaded.
Now, what city?
Lockport.
Lockport, yes.
Yeah. They used to come in there on trains, and sometimes it would be wet time in the spring. Anytime it would be wet, and these wagons would get stuck, and they'd hook these big horses on. They couldn't get them out, they'd bring an elephant around. He'd put his head back in the back of the wagon and push him right out.
Did they have, how did they come, on more than one train car? Did they have a food car?
Oh, they had several cars. Mm-hmm. Had cars caged on with the animals in, and flat cars where the wagons were on. And those days, they used to always have a parade, you know, a parade through the city to advertise the circus. Some animals in cages and nice horses. They always had nice horses.
And a band?
And a band.
Or a calliope?
They used to drive a stake, you know, and there'd be three men with sledgehammers around this one stake, and there'd be a hammer on that stake all the while. They would go right on, just like that. The three of them all in time. They never hit each other.
Good rhythm.
Good rhythm. First one, then the other. Three of them. And I say that stake would just disappear right on the ground.
That was when they were putting up the tent?
Putting up the tent, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Did they have more than one tent?
Oh, yes. Yeah, they had several tents. But they had the big main tent, where they had the rings in, the circus rings. Then they had rings where some of the help stayed, and some of the animals were in separate cages. They had a lot of cages and a lot of tents, because they had just this one big top, they used to call it,